the back of the sheet, number 40. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Number 40 on the hymn sheet. Jesus loves me, this I know. The next hymn on sheet 41, around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems ring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. Number 41. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will have the anthem ring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high.
Now that last verse really tells us how we're going to be able to get there, on what ground we can get there, because if we're going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus, we must have our sins forgiven. And so the last verse says, because the Savior shed his blood to purge away their sin. Oh, we might ask this morning, does little children have sin? Oh, yes, little children do have sin. And we might ask the question, when does a little child begin to sin? Well, I think that those of us who are parents can say, like an old brother once said, just as soon as they're born, just as soon as they're born, why, you know, parents and grandparents, as they look at the little babies, it's not long before they see signs of sin. Oh, yes, a little self-will, a reddening of the face, a stiffening of the muscles, all tells us a story that little one is born with a nature that has self-will. And I know, without asking the question, that this morning, every one of us in this room this morning has self-will. We all have that self-will in our hearts by nature. And oh, beloved, this morning, you and I really value the love that Jesus had for us in order that he might have us with himself. He had to die. He had to shed his precious blood. And so we sang that, because the Savior shed his blood to purge away their sin, now washed in that most precious blood, behold them white and clean. Well, it's nice to know that the Lord Jesus loves us. And when he comes for us, he's going to present us before himself spotless, without one spot, not one spot of sin. Now I'm going to ask if some of the children have a hymn. How about some on this side? Anyone have a hymn? I see a hand, yes?
Five.
Number 5. O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Number 5. Oh, happy day
that fixed my choice.
But perhaps you haven't as yet really realized just how bad you are in the sight of God. You know, boys and girls, you and I are so bad, so wicked, that we can never, never get to heaven. And so God, who loves us, who wanted our company for His Son, He sent His Son to this world to die for our sins. Yesterday we had before us the epistle to Peter. And I'd like to turn to John's Gospel chapter 1, where we have Peter mentioned and how he was brought to Jesus. John's Gospel chapter 1. I will read verse 29 and then go down to verse 35. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And verse 35. Again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which has been interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Well, how lovely it is to have this little story tell us about Andrew and Peter. Isn't it nice to know that Andrew loved his brother Peter so much that when he found out that Jesus was the Messiah, why, immediately he wanted to find his brother Peter and tell him the good news. Well, Andrew, you know, was a disciple of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, as he beheld the Lord Jesus, he could say to all those people around, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold, that means, boys and girls, to look and see. Behold, I wonder if each one here has beheld the Lord Jesus with faith in their heart, believing that he is the Son of God. Oh, boys and girls, I want to say that the oldest here in this room at one time was either a little boy or a little girl. And there came that time in the lives of your parents and your grandparents that when they were perhaps a little boy, as I was, we beheld the Lord Jesus for the first time and we realized that he loved us so much that he died to put away our sins. Oh, it's wonderful to think of someone who loves us so much that he would be willing to die for us. Sometimes we hear of stories of some who have given their lives in trying to save someone, but you know, they lost their lives and they weren't able to save that one. But they proved, didn't they, that they loved them. But oh, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus, he loved you and me so much that he gave his life. And it's because he gave his life for your sins and mine on the cross of Calvary that God this morning can cleanse us from our sins and make us fit for his presence. Well, as John uttered those words, and he repeated them the next day, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Why, Andrew's heart was touched, and his companions, and they followed Jesus. Oh, you boys and girls, you know what it is to follow Jesus? And when I ask that question to boys and girls, I might address it to young people and older ones. Do you know what it is to follow Jesus? Do you know what it is? You know, in the 8th of John, we won't turn to it, but in verse 12, the Lord Jesus uttered these words. He said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light." Oh, children, young people, the Lord Jesus wants you to have light. Light for your path here on earth. Yes, he wants you to have light. Oh, do you know what it is to follow Jesus? When I was a boy, I followed some companions, and I was so close to them that I heard with my ears what they said. And one day, one of my little companions uttered a word that all made me so sad. He uttered a word that I won't repeat this morning. And you know what that did to me? It opened my eyes to realize that I wasn't following the Lord Jesus. I thank God that the Lord has removed the memory of those words. But I want to warn you boys and girls and older ones. Who are you following? Are you following the Lord Jesus? If you are, you're going to have light for your path. You're going to have blessing. And you know, the path of life just takes us right into the very presence of God. To be with Jesus. You want to be there? Oh, I want to say this morning, in love for you boys and girls, you younger ones, that you have an enemy, and the enemy of your soul and mine wants to rob us of the knowledge of sins forgiven. He wants to rob us of that sense in our hearts that there is one who loves us, and his name is Jesus. Jesus. And so, if he can get you to follow someone else, he will cause you to forget the one who loves you. Oh, Andrew followed Jesus. And what did he find? He found out where the Lord Jesus was dwelling. And when Jesus saw him following in verse 38, he said, "What seek ye? What seek ye?" I wonder if there's anybody here in this room that is seeking someone. Are you seeking the Lord? Oh, the prophet Isaiah says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Yes. "Let the wicked forsake his way." Oh, boys and girls, are you seeking the Lord in your heart? You know, a seeking sinner will always find a seeking Savior. The Lord knows those that are seeking him. And you know, he's seeking you this morning. And he wants you, each one, to follow him. Oh, Andrew followed the Lord. And he was asked that question. And so he asked, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And the Lord says, "Come and see." Isn't this lovely? Come and see. I don't know of any nicer word. Come. Come and see. Boys and girls, if you never come, you'll never know how lovely Jesus is. If you never come to Jesus, you will never have the forgiveness of your sins. You will never be made fit for heaven. Oh, I want to tell you that the Lord is come. A brother asked a question in the reading meeting yesterday morning, and I don't believe it was answered. May I answer it? The question was asked, "What makes you think that the Lord Jesus is coming soon?" I believe this is what everyone in this room who loves the Lord believes. Everyone who studies God's Word, I do believe that they believe the coming of the Lord is drawn nigh. What makes us think so? Well, you know, in the second epistle to Peter, we won't turn to it, but in the second epistle to Peter, I believe the third chapter and the third verse, why Peter tells us that in the last days, perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they say, "Where is the sign of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were." I believe we're living in the last days. I believe with all my heart that the coming of the Lord is drawn nigh. Because we see around us godlessness, men who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I remember some time ago, and speaking about the Lord's coming to someone, they said these words to me that rather shocked me. Oh, you don't think he's coming soon, do you? Why, ever since I remember, I've heard the same thing, that the Lord is coming. I've heard it all my life, and he hasn't come yet. Well, I was shocked. But perhaps some of us in our hearts have really thought the same thing. And it's to our shame if we have. Oh, beloved, the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, and Peter tells us this. Yes, he's long-suffering. God in his mercy, as his eye looks down and sees everyone in this room, his all-searching eye can see into the heart of every dear boy and girl and older one. He knows whether you have done as Andrew and Peter. He knows whether you have come to Jesus or not. He knows. And as his eye looks down in this room, oh, dear one, he hasn't come yet because he has a special love for your soul. And he wants you to know what it is to know Jesus, to be with him. But, oh, I want to warn you, he is coming. And the Apostle James says, the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. He is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Savior? Are you ready? He is coming. Oh, Satan is so busy today, and he would put into your heart, if you allow him, he will put into your heart to doubt the Lord Jesus that he is coming. Yes, he will put that doubt into your heart. Well, Andrew, he came and he saw where the Lord dwelt, and he dwelt and abode with him that day. Oh, what a wonderful privilege Andrew had that day. Not only did he find out where the Lord was dwelling, but he had that invitation to come. And he went in. Yes, he abode with the Lord Jesus. Well, it doesn't tell us what they talked about. But you know, such was the effect on Andrew's life that immediately he went and found his brother Peter. I wonder if some here in this room have found the Lord Jesus like Andrew. And perhaps you have a brother. His name may not be Peter, but perhaps you have a brother that hasn't come. Have you ever gone to him and uttered what Andrew did? Come and see. We have found the Messiah. Oh, Andrew was familiar with the law of Moses, the writings of Moses, and the writings of the prophets. And he says, we found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. Oh, yes, we found the Messiah. Oh, beloved, what a day that was for Andrew. What a day for Peter when he was brought to Jesus. Oh, I pray this morning that if you have been brought to Jesus, that you and I may know more what it is to bring others to him. Well, Peter was brought to Jesus. And you know he had his name changed. And you know it tells us if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's changed, yeah. And so Peter's name was changed. The Lord could say, thou art Simon, the son of Jonas, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now I want to turn over to the book of Peter, Epistle to Peter, for just a few moments. In the first chapter, he is writing, and he says in verse 18, "For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Well, those he was writing to, he says, "For as much as ye know, boys and girls, there's only one way to have the forgiveness of sin. There's only one way to be redeemed, and that's through the precious blood of Christ." Now the second chapter and the third verse. "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Oh, boys and girls, young people, older ones, God wants you and I to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted? You'll never know how lovely He is unless you taste, unless you receive Him as your Savior. You know, sometimes we're offered ice cream. And it is very, very, very seldom that I have seen a boy or a girl refuse ice cream. I think we all like ice cream. But you know, if we didn't taste it, we wouldn't know how good it was. And the ice cream wouldn't do us any good. And if we didn't taste it, we'd lose it, wouldn't we? Yes, we'd lose it. It would melt and disappear. Oh, I want to warn you this morning. If you don't taste and see that the Lord is good, the day may come when it'll be too late. You'll lose that opportunity of tasting. Oh, boys and girls, taste this morning. Now I want to read another verse here. It tells us a little what God is doing. Verse 5. "Ye also, as lively are living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Oh, dear children, this morning God is building a house. And what kind of a house is it? It's a spiritual house. And what's he building it with? Oh, the materials are stones, living stones. And as I look into your faces this morning, the Word of God teaches me that everyone here in this room, whether you're a little boy or a little girl, if you love the Lord Jesus, if you have trusted Him in your heart, you are a living stone. A stone, and you are part of that spiritual house that God is building today. Yes, every believer is a stone, a living stone in that house. And so God is building a house. And you know, boys and girls, perhaps today, I don't know, the last stone will be added to that house. And when it is, the Lord's going to come. Oh, as I look into your face, oh, what a wonderful thing to be part of God's house, that spiritual house, and to be a living stone. Oh, some of you are very small, some of you are a little bigger, and some are bigger still. But I want to tell you that if you love the Lord Jesus, you are part of that house You are living stones. Oh, I once remember a friend of mine, and he said, "Brother," he said, "I want to show you where my new house is going to be." The house he had was just a shack on top of one of the mountains in St. Vincent. And he took me to this place that he had chosen. And you know, beside the road, there was a pile of stones. A pile of stones. He says, "That's where I'm going to build my house, and those stones are going into that house." Well, the next year when I went there, I looked at those piles of stone, and they were a little bigger. And as the years went by, the pile of stones got bigger. There were more added to it. And the day came when I went down there, the stones were not to be seen. But there was a house where this man and his wife were dwelling. And they took me into their house. Oh, it was a happy day for that man when he would say, "Oh, come in and see my house." Why, he was so happy, his face was beaming as he showed me his house. Oh, boys and girls, God has a house. And you and I, if we love Jesus, are a part. We're living still in that house. But I want to say this, if you're not a living stone, if you're not trusting the Lord Jesus, you'll have no part in that house. Oh, no, no part. Now, why do people build a house like my friend to dwell in? And so we find that in Ephesians chapter 2, we won't turn to it, our time is gone. But we find that every true believer are built up a spiritual house. And the Spirit of God dwells in his house. Now as I look at your faces, may I ask you the question, does the Spirit of God dwell in your heart? Does the Spirit of God dwell in your heart? Oh, boys and girls, if it does, there's going to be some evidence of it. And I believe the proof that the Spirit of God dwelt in my house many years ago, when I heard that boy utter the precious name of my Savior in vain, when he used profanity, the proof that I had the Spirit of Christ in me was that I was grieved. And from that day, that boy ceased to be my close friend. And little by little we separated. Where he is tonight, I don't know. As far as I know, he's in a lost eternity. Boys and girls, God is building a house. And the Spirit of God indwells every true believer. And in the 8th chapter of Romans, the apostle says, I'll just turn to it. I don't want to quote it incorrectly. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the last half. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And so the Spirit of God indwells the heart of every true believer. And you know what, boys and girls? He hears every word you say. He sees everything you do. There's nothing hid from him. Nothing. If you belong to Christ, his Spirit dwells within you. Oh, this should make us careful then what we listen to, what we look at with our eyes, where our feet take us, what our hands do. Oh, this should make us careful. May the Lord help us each one to try to please Him. If we are following Him, we will. You know, my wife and I have moved into another home, a smaller home. And before we moved, we went up in the attic. And you know, there are a lot of things find their way up in an attic. And we're doing some sorting around. And you know, with the object of throwing away those things we didn't want, or perhaps giving something that we value to someone, and in searching through the attic, we found something. It was just a little piece of paper. But you know, that little piece of paper meant a lot to me. That little piece of paper had a few words written on it. And it was a letter that my little girl sent me. And it was dated July the 4th, 1954. You know what that little letter said? Dear Daddy, tonight I was saved. And she went on to say that the one who was speaking said, the Lord is coming soon, and we ought to get saved right away. And she said, I did. And she closed with her love. Well, that little piece of paper had been hidden away for many years. I thought it was gone, destroyed, lost. But you know, we found that little piece of paper. What do you think I did with it? You think I just crumbled it up and threw it in the waste paper basket? I'll tell you what I did with it. I looked for a frame, and I put it in a frame, and I hung it up in my study. And if you ever visit my home, you can look at that little letter that my daughter wrote to me when she was a little girl. I wonder if there's some boys or girls here who really in their heart love Jesus. Have you ever told daddy or mother, or aunt or uncle, you do what that little girl of mine did? You write your father and mother a little letter and tell them that you too love Jesus. You belong to Him. Well, it wasn't too long ago. It wasn't too long after that. My brother told me a little story, and his little girl had done the same thing to him after my little girl did it. He got a little note from his girl telling that she too was trusting the Lord Jesus. Oh, young people, have you ever told anybody? I'm going to close. But I want you to realize that there is a spiritual house. It's composed of living stones. Yes, some are little and some are big. But I want to say that the little stone, the little place, dear children, that you occupy in God's house, I can't fill that place. No. Your grandfather can't fill that place. That place is special for you. But you know, you can't occupy the place that they fill. And may each one of us ask the Lord for grace to serve Him in the place that He's put us, in His house.